In 1957, thousands of children read for the first time about the nasty, wasty skunk who tried to take Christmas away from Whoville in the Dr. Seuss book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. 9 years later, a new generation saw the Grinch on TV.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Today on Present at the Creation, Morning Edition series exploring the origins of American cultural icons, NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports on the early life of the Grinch.
Ted Geisel, better known as Dr. Seuss, was 53 years old when he decided to write a book protesting the commercialization of Christmas. With pink beady eyes and arched eyebrows, his Grinch has a hard time with all the hoopla around the holidays.
And then they'll do something I hate most of all. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, will stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'll stand hand in hand, and those hoos will start singing.
Far in the forest, down in your lake, welcome Christmas, come this way.
Ted Geisel was never one for big, fancy celebrations, according to his niece, Peggy Owens. She says her uncle came home to Springfield, Massachusetts every Christmas when she was growing up, and he did help her believe in the magic of the holiday, but...
I don't get the feeling that he had a great deal of excess of sentimentality, like I can hardly wait for Christmas to come.
But for 53 years I put up with it now. I must stop Christmas from coming. But how?
And like the Grinch, who lives at the top of Mount Crumpet, Ted Geisel lived at the top of Mount Soledad, overlooking the ocean and La Jolla. He rarely let anyone into his studio, but after he died, stage director Jack O'Brien, a friend of the Geisels, went there to visit.
It's a beautiful home, clearly, but it's kind of zonky. There are weird staircases and a sense that those creatures inhabit that house. Proportion is a little awry. It's quite magical.
Ted Geisel dedicated How the Grinch Stole Christmas to his great-nephew, Ted Owens, one of the few people he did allow in his studio. Now 46, Owens remembers how his uncle labored over every page of every book.
All the walls would just be plastered with rough tissue sketchings of ideas for books. He would color in them in with colored pencils, kind of block in what the story would be, what the characters would be, what the layout of the page would be, and then there'd be little typewritten notes pasted on all the drawings below them with the ideas for the text, and it'd always be crossed out. There'd be words crossed out here or there, another word written in, as he refined it over and over again, trying to find the right cadence and the right words to use in these stories.
In its first printing in 1957, How the Grinch Stole Christmas sold more than 50,000 copies, and strong sales continue to this day. When it came time to turn the Grinch into a TV star, Ted Geisel was willing to work with legendary animator Chuck Jones, creator of Bugs Bunny, Wile E. Coyote, and The Roadrunner. They first met during World War II when they made training films for the military under Frank Capra. Television critic and historian Leonard Maltin says, like Geisel, Jones knew how to bring a humanity to his creatures.
He had a subtlety, a grace, and a fondness for verbal wit that matched his facility with the visual humor, gags, even slapstick.
It was Jones who decided to make the Grinch green. Chuck Jones died earlier this year, but in 1996, he told Bob Edwards he made another change that Ted Geisel wasn't crazy about.
He said the Grinch itself looked more like me than he did like his Grinch. And I'm afraid that it did. I tend to sneak my face in without knowing it into things that I draw, because sometimes I'll glance in the mirror to get a certain expression that I want.
Horror movie star Boris Karloff was the voice of the Grinch. Ted Geisel was enthralled by his performance, says Ted Owens.
Boris Karloff was getting quite on in his age and was not particularly well. But I remember my uncle telling me that when he walked into the studio and they started to record the voice of the Grinch, Boris Karloff, his whole persona would just change and he would just light up and become the Grinch and have that real Grinchy voice and just totally change character.
Then he slunk to the icebox. He took the Who's Feast. He took the Who Pudding. He took the Roast Beast. He cleaned out the icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took the last can of Who Hash.
The music for the TV special was composed by Albert Haig. The theme was sung by Thurl Ravenscroft, whose credits included backup vocals in Elvis Presley movies and
Great!
Tony the Tiger.
You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch.
Like many a curmudgeon, the Grinch has a change of heart. In fact, in the end, it grows 3 sizes. How the Grinch Stole Christmas played on CBS every Christmas for 22 years. And while ratings were tremendous, according to a CBS spokesperson, not everybody liked it. Brothers David and Bob Grinch from Ridgefield, New Jersey, wrote Ted Geisel to say they were being teased and would he please change the Grinch's name. Dr. Seuss wrote in reply, "I disagree with your friends who harass you. Can't they understand that the Grinch in my story is the hero of Christmas? Sure, he starts out as a villain, but it's not how you start out that counts. It's what you are at the finish." Elizabeth Blair, NPR News, Washington.
Welcome, Christmas. Bring your cheer. Cheer to all who's far and near. Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to clasp. Christmas Day will always be just as long as we have we. Welcome Christmas while we stand, heart to heart and hand in hand.
Video clips and some Grinch songs are at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Bettman.